do it this time. I'm going to do a content warning without saying the fuck word or talking about genitalia. Except for that time. And probably a lot throughout the season. Just so you know.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tyler.
And I'm Zach.
We're your Aeronauts, and we're back with more word balloons. We've been flying high on our own hot air, but have stopped our journey to Skywatch Station to answer your nerdy questions. So with that in mind, Zach, what's our question this week?
Which Starfleet captain would you want to be assigned to, and what department would you probably work in? I can get... You're going to guess, say, Freeman, I feel like.
Yeah, I definitely want to be on the Cerritos, 100%.
And, Stowaway...
Stowaway's editor and Stowaway Steven here.
I feel like Picard?
I think he's chose which ship he wants to be on, considering we can't get rid of him.
He wants to work for us.
Yeah, sorry, I was completely distracted. I was busy setting up for your coordination, Zach.
I don't know. How, okay.
Which planet?
The Wanton.
Oh, okay.
Bad Jet Li movie. anyways, I feel like Picard, but...
More than likely would be the one that I would knee-jerk want to be on, but also Freeman would be great.
I feel like Freeman has the highest survival rating chance.
Yes. Yeah, that's kind of was factored into my thoughts.
Although that said, like, when you're on the Enterprise, you're on, like, a way better... I mean, you know I love the Cerritos. Don't get defensive here, big guy.
No, it's...
The Enterprise is a way better ship than the Cerritos.
No, that's true.
I feel like it has to go to Picard for me, but part of that is, like, the era and the ship for, like, the Enterprise-D. Because the other answer is Pike. But surviving those old scientists era is way smaller. I don't like the ships as much. I don't like the uniforms as much.
Oh, I for sure want to be on a ship that has a fucking replicator for sure. Holodeck was what I was looking for. I need to be on that era of ships, please. For sure. So Picard's my knee-jerk choice. What I know about Janeway, that wouldn't be bad.
The problem with Janeway is, like, how would she do in command? Or, like, would you like to serve under her and be thrown 75 light years?
Yeah.
Or more than 75 light years. 75 years at high warp.
Yeah.
Across,
I wouldn't want to be on that ship, but I wouldn't mind being under her command, if that makes sense.
There's this great meme that's like Voyager Gothic, and it talks about, because like one of the critiques of Voyager is honestly the people on Voyager have a pretty solid life once they get like the basic ship figured out, because they still have the replicators, they still have like a really powerful ship in almost any area of the galaxy that they're in. So unlike what, like, later shows like Battlestar Galactica do that show, like, the dangers of attrition and stuff, but because it's the Delta Quadrant and Voyager was fucking weird, like, a bunch of really dark shit happens to them, but everything's still kind of okay. Like, life is all right. So it's like, there are only 14 photon torpedoes left. You enter battle, you fire 3 of them. The next day, there are only 14 photon torpedoes left. 6 members have died on the crew. There's still 101 crew members left aboard. Like,
yeah, no, I don't want that, actually. I'm okay without that.
Voyager's just really fucked up if you, like, pay attention to the show.
I should really try. I have not actually got into Voyager yet. I just finished my rewatch of Next Gen, and I got into Deep Space Nine.
DS9 is better. I do really like Voyager, but that's mostly because I like Janeway.
I wouldn't mind working at Deep Space Nine.
How far into Deep Space Nine have you
gotten? Not far enough.
Okay, so you've not gotten to War Crimes era Sisko.
Oh, definitely not.
I love Sisko. He will get you killed. Like, and that's just because they, you know, that's the only show, like, in fairness to Sisko, that's the only show that's like, what if we showed a galaxy-wide war? What would that actually look like? You're like, oh, okay. It's bad.
Oh.
It's bad. No one's like...
Oh, shit. You guys just... Everything's fucked. Okay.
Yeah. I think my number two choice would be the Titan under Riker.
Yeah, that's a good one. Riker would just be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, actually, yeah, that'd be pretty fucking great.
Even when it's heavy-duty stuff, and even if it's not the, like, full-on comedy from the minutes we see Riker in Lower Decks, like, Riker's good with his people. But he also takes his job super seriously. So, like, we can see the balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Number one, be Picard on, yeah, because fucking 10 forward, gonna go hanging out with Gina.
Because he's fucking Picard.
And he's Picard, like, and Data's there. Like, that, for me, would be my number one choice. Number two would be Freeman on the Cerritos. And then three would be with Riker on the Titan.
One Picard, two Pike, three, just because, I mean, I know you haven't seen Strange New Worlds, really, but...
But I've seen that first episode, and I do fucking like Pike in that.
My fucking God, I love Pike as a captain. And then three is, I think, a tie between Riker and Freeman. Okay, what division do you work in, then?
I feel like I would be, like, a weird non-main branch. I don't know what it would be, but I feel like it'd be, like, the barber equivalent.
So not a member of Starfleet, but they still need you aboard? Right. You're Mr. Mott.
Or, like, I completely forget, a Quark. I'd be something, like, adjacently. Like, I'm there.
You're one of Guinan's people at 10-4.
100%, yes. I'm just the guy there that knows how to do this one fucking specific thing. That
actually,
like,
I know you haven't watched Voyager. You'd just be Neelix. You would be the ship's cook.
I didn't. Yeah, like that's what it would be.
I feel like,
but if we're gonna play along and we're just
I'm gonna get this out there, you are our editor. There's an argument for engineering.
Yeah, I was gonna say probably engineering, but I'd probably end up on like a lower decks level, like maintenance engineering type stuff. I'd be Barclay, except less smart. Because Barclay's actually pretty capable.
And no, he's a genius. He's just also severely autistic.
Yep.
I guess I didn't do enough research to see how things are broke down within, like, what department I would be in. But, like, you know, I'm pretty good at, like, receiving stuff into places.
Wow, that sounded way dirtier than I actually meant it this time.
No, but I mean, like, anytime supplies need to be brought on board the ship, like, I'm good at doing that stuff. So, like...
Yeah, like, what... department would that be? Because there's like the three that I could think of earlier was like science,
either that or I feel like I'd be good on security
and security, and I feel like security handles a lot of that.
It would probably be security because there's yellow shirts, which is engineering and security. There's sciences, blues, which is science and medical, and then there's command. And so the which level that you're
hells no would I not be on command.
The level you're talking about is either going to be a yellow shirt or so like engineering or command or security or command.
I'll tell you this much, if I got a red shirt, I ain't leaving that fucking ship. I ain't going to a planet.
In the next gen era that you're talking about, you're much more likely to survive.
I know, but I still won't leave.
Just in general, don't leave the ship.
I got a fucking holodeck and replica.
I do not need to be part of a wave. My agoraphobia
is fine. Okay, it sounds egotistical to be like, I think I'd be in command, but like, and my argument is, I'm not good enough at any one thing to like feel like I would fit into a specialization of anything, but I'm decent at quite a few things.
I also might end up being the, never mind, just keep going.
We have to know.
I could see you going more of the navigational or, like, flying route.
That's, I think, falls under command a lot of times.
Yeah, so, like,
the holodeck jizz mopper?
Yeah. I mean, we're starting at lower decks. We all will.
Hey, someone's got to mop it up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying I think I would be, like, captain of the ship.
No, yeah.
But organization is not my strongest suit from the various things I've run over the years. Bullshitting enough to get other people to organize is something I am good at.
Dude, you could be a number two for sure.
Yeah.
I could also see you captaining in a ship.
Yes, because a captain has a really good first officer to take care of the bullshit for him.
Yeah.
The captain goes, we need to do this. Riker, have fun. And he goes off to hang out with his fish.
I mean, you do have a lot of the qualities. I think, yeah. I think the command would be where you end up.
How do you like Earl Grey?
I actually hate it. I was so disappointed as a kid when, like, I really wanted Earl Grey tea because my mom raised me watching Star Trek.
Right.
And so she bought some, and I was like, yeah, and we made a thing, and I took a drink, and it fucking sucks.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Earl Grey. I much prefer other, like, I'd rather have an English breakfast.
I am
like
way more an herbal tea guy than anything else.
I don't like a lot of black tea in general. I will fuck with some green tea.
I love a good chamomile.
Darjeeling. I like, if I gotta go black, I usually go with like a Darjeeling.
Peppermint, This is a very area specific, but the Evening in Missoula that the Missoula Tea Company puts out is incredible. So good.
I don't like herbal teas. They're too floral for my palate.
I do like fucking with people with the Evening in Missoula and having them take a big whiff of it while putting it in their mind that it smells like root beer toothpaste. Some people are like, it does. And some people are like, oh, God, no. Why would you say that? And it's great.
What the fuck? This is the first I've ever heard of root beer toothpaste?
That's because it's not a thing.
Okay, good.
But because Evening in Missoula, which again, we've gotten so Missoula specific here,
smells exactly like root beer toothpaste.
It has a hint of some mints to it, and it has a little bit of licorice, but not enough to like.
You just said taste it so like convincingly. I immediately thought, okay, this is a thing that Tyler's aware of that I've never heard of in my life.
In fairness, I probably would have brushed my teeth more as a kid if they had told me root beer toothpaste just because of how much I love root beer.
I could crush a root beer right this fucking second. Mm-hmm. And the more we say root beer,
the more I want one.
The more I need it.
Where were we? Did we answer the question?
Yeah. I think we did.
We left the question behind a while ago.
Good. In order to keep our journey going, we're going to have to drop some ballast. Luckily, Zach is stuffed to the brim with assorted genre facts. I'll prod him a bit and see what shakes loose. Remember, any misses or mistakes will have to be made up for at the end of our trip. Today, we'll keep this expedition's theme of Wildstorm characters. So, Zach, what knowledge can you drop on Jenny Sparks?
Jenny Sparks is a century baby. She was created by Warren Ellis and I want to say Tom Rainey?
Yes.
In a very pivotal, God, the Warren Ellis Stormwatch era was good. So the idea of, I'll talk about Jenny Sparks, but you kind of have to understand what a century baby is first to go with it. Century babies are known as the kind of the universe's white blood cells. They exist to protect, I guess, society, to protect existence for a reason. And they all kind of have their own special things. So Jenny Sparks, for example, is the spirit of the 20th century. The Elijah Snow is the ghost of the 20th century. They all have unknown powers. They were all born January 1st, 1900 or January 1st, 2000. Jenny Sparks is the spirit of the 20th century. So she was born January 1st, 1900 and she died December 31st, 1999 at 11:59 p.m. She did not significantly age past her 20s and was there to kind of, she represented the growth and the potential of the 20th century. She has extremely capable energy electricity-based powers, so she can like fry your brain by activating the electrical impulses in your brain. She can travel through phone lines. She can just kind of electrocute you. She is... Warren Ellis has this weird habit of making depressed characters that wear all white. It's probably why his Moon Knight run was so good. It was just like one of his things. So she had a tendency to wear like a white jacket and white pants and a Union Jack t-shirt.
All right.
And she's kind of an exploration of the concept of the superhero vigilante character through the 20th century. So she first emerges in her 20s and 30s as kind of a pulp hero character. And then it moves on to kind of Golden Age comics. And then everything goes dark right around when the Golden Age ends. And then she reappears again to try to form an honest-to-God super team in like the 60s and 70s before it finally goes fucking haywire in the 80s as the Silver Age morphs to the Bronze Age, which led from stuff like, you know, Spider-Man and the Fantastic Four to Watchmen and the Dark Knight Returns and the rise of Vertigo Comics and stuff like that. So her experience with superheroics is kind of a biography of the history of the format. Okay. It will be explored much more deeply in the series Planetary that he launched later, but that's its own kind of thing. She is recruited by a man named Henry Bendix into the group Stormwatch, whose station we're going to as we speak, to lead a black ops group of Stormwatch because she's seen all of the dark underbelly of the Wildstorm universe. After Stormwatch falls apart, Jenny decides that she is going to actually change the world, not just in the way of like Skywatch Stormwatch, Henry Bendix trying to take over the world in kind of fascist control, or the traditional superhero thing that deals with big problems but doesn't really make the world better in the long run. And she creates the authority that will change the world or else. Like, they are here to save the world, whatever that means. Which gets pretty dark, and actually Mark Miller completely fucking ruins the story, but that's his own thing. The fun thing about Jenny Sparks was no matter what you did with her, it turns out that she was there for the important moments of the 20th century. Whether she meant to be or not, whether you wanted to or not, but her nature is the spirit of the 20th century. She was kind of attracted to different aspects. And it ranges from, like, she was part of a group that traveled to a parallel world where she married a prince of, like, a kind of John Carter of Mars-style world. Or she accidentally saved Hitler from dying in World War I, long before Hitler was, you know, Hitler, and actually ends up as a secret agent in World War II and almost assassinates him. But he lets her live because he remembers her from World War I. That story did not age well, but it was, like, interesting.
I mean, that's the fucking coolest Hitler story I've heard in a while.
It's so, like, there's the secret history of Jenny Sparks. It's one of the only Mark Miller stories I still kind of like. And it is just, like, random encounters of her life. So, as I said, she's been there for anything important. You know, she was probably around Florida when we went to the moon, because that's where the space station was launching. She wasn't there for large parts of the 80s and 90s because the 80s got so dark that she drank herself into oblivion, which was Warren Ellis's way, I think, of really disapproving of the early 90s. Hmm. Also, like, as I said, the 80s, I mean, 80s comics got dark because that's when stuff like Constantine started coming out and Watchmen and Dark Knight Returns. So she was part of that, but it ended up being like one of her super team members was stealing babies to take their body parts to try to make his own, like, perfect Frankenstein baby because him and his wife couldn't conceive. And she found that out, killed them both, and then, like, hung out at the bottom of a whiskey bottle for the next 10 years.
I thought you were going to say hung out with this Frankenstein baby.
No, it was a corpse. Actually, it was, like, six corpses sewn together, but
bummer, considering the baby parts.
You know, she formed
also a super corpse.
She formed a super team kind of Justice League analog in the 60s, and it all went bad thanks to the free love movement. Like, it was Century Babies is one of the best ideas that Warren Ellis has ever come up
with. Yeah, it's fascinating. I want to know more about that.
Well, we'll get there at some point.
Wonderful. Do you think you got it all?
I think you got it all.
I was gonna say, I can tell you more if you need me to.
Well, that's it for today, folks. We're taking off, but before we go, we'd like to remind you to hit subscribe. Check out all of our sister shows at earvyrm.com. That is EARVVYRM.com. Other ways to get in touch with and follow us will be in the show notes. As always, we want to give a special thanks to editor Stephen Gady and to Ian Ford for our theme song tracks. Until next time, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Zach.
Up, up, and away.